And now sit back and enjoy.
Blake, here you are. You're graduating. It's time. We are so proud of you. You've always been the kid who had so much kindness and compassion. You've always put others first. And we just want to see that continue into the rest of your life as you go out into this world. Keep that kindness in your heart, and we know that you'll do great things.
Blake, congrats on your graduation. I'm so proud of you, and I can't wait to see what the next chapter of your life brings. I wish you luck.
Hey, Josh.
I'm busy.
What? Hey, Josh. Are you done with the garden yet?
Almost. I'm trying.
Okay. I wanted to tell you the good news.
What's the good news?
We finally get to show all our embarrassing pictures of Ian.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Ready.
Well, Ian, can you believe it? You made it through, and I'm really proud of you. And you're the middle of five, and you've always been really protective for your sisters and your little brother, and I think that's really cool. I have no idea what you're going to do in the future, but I know with your attitude and your determination, it's going to be great.
I love you, Ian. I'm proud of the young man you've become. Three down, two to go.
Jackson Drew, you have been ornery since the day you were born, and you've been pushing my buttons ever since. You're the instigator amongst your siblings, and even the dog growls at you more than anyone else. But behind that tough, ornery kid, you've always had the biggest heart, and you've made us really proud. Can't wait to see what God has in store for you in your future.
Hey, Jack. Your hard work and dedication have led you through this first phase of life, but not without some challenges along the way. However, it's those challenges that have helped you mature into the young man that you are today. May the Lord bless you with wisdom, strength, and peace in this next phase of life, and may your faith continue to be your guiding light. Congratulations. We're super proud of you and love you.
Love you, Jack.
Hey, Kale. Ever since you were a little boy, you've always been an all-in kid. All-in, 110%, whatever you put your mind to. That determination and grind, along with your faith, has been at the core of your successes and accomplishments. And as we've told you many times, we are so proud of you. We love you so very much. Never forget that, and always keep your faith and Joshua 1:9 front and center.
We love you very much, Gail.
Gavin, I know you're excited. Graduation's almost here and you're finishing up all your senior activities. I'm really excited for you this summer, going to Miracle Camp to be a camp counselor and your year to come at Bowling Green. I just want to wish you best wishes in everything you do. I know you're going to be a great success.
Mom?
Oh, gosh.
Mom?
What?
Mom. I love you.
Oh, just so you guys know, that's what it's like to live with Gavin. Self-proclaimed mama's boy, always interrupting.
Even at 18 years old. Mom. Mom.
Yep.
Mom, Dad, be quiet. I want to talk to Mom. Mom.
Yeah. So, hey, buddy. We just want you to know that we love you. We're very proud of you. We're proud of the man that you have become and the man that you are going to be and everything that you are involved in. I'd love to turn this into a teachable dad moment, but I know that right now looking at the screen, you're probably already rolling your eyes. So I'll try to keep this simple because you know me and my dad moments. Yeah, we love you. We just wish you the best of luck in everything you do, and you're just a great kid, and you're going to be a great man, and we love you.
And we're going to miss you this summer.
Oh, definitely. All the, Mom.
Yep, it's going to be quiet.
Mom. Hey, buddy. Love you.
Love you.
Tyler, all through your high school years, you surprised us by trying out and being part of musicals, plays, band, choir, company, and solo competitions. And we enjoyed all of them. But the Tyler Show began even before all of that. You have been funny, playful, loving, challenging since you were born 19 years ago today. But now we have reached the end of the first act, and only the first act. All of us who have been fortunate enough to have played roles in the first act are all expecting great things in the second and beyond. Allow God to remain the producer as your story plays out. If you allow Jesus to be the director, he will bring out all the joy, the love, the compassion that you are capable of. You will experience joy, heartache, pain, love, but Jesus will be by your side. He knows how to guide you through all the less than perfect performances and all the standing ovations that your show will bring. The curtain is coming down on the first act. It is now rising on the second. Your dad and I will now step back a bit from the roles we have played thus far, but we'll always be your supporting cast. With all of our love, go break a leg.
We're excited to celebrate your high school graduation with you. We know how hard you've worked for this, trying to balance your schoolwork, jobs, sports, and time with your friends. Actually, we know this is true because we've witnessed many nights of you late at night studying in the office, and we've heard you actually pounding on the office desk in frustration while you've been studying. And then after some time, we realize that maybe, actually, this had more to do with the frustration late at night. So we were actually very pleased still and thankful that you were ahead of the game and actually have already learned how important it is to have that work-life balance in your life.
Cam, we are so proud of the man you're becoming. Can't wait to see what the next seasons of life hold for you. We love your sense of humor, independence, and how the wheels are always turning in your head. We pray God guides the path ahead of you and brings people into your life that are good, God-fearing, trustworthy, and wise.
Cam, remember, we'll always be your mom and dad, no matter how old you get. We're always here or just a phone call away.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, O Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name. Beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Please join me in prayer as we prepare to receive our morning tithes and offerings. Dear Lord, we thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit, our counselor and guide, who enables us to serve you and witness to others. May you bless our gifts to grow our missions and ministries so that many may be added to your kingdom. Amen. I invite the ushers forward to receive our morning offerings.
As I looked at the altar, I realized that I forgot to pass out the carnations to our high school graduates. So So while you give your offering, I'll give out carnations.
Our sermon scripture continues on from the second chapter of Acts, verses 22 through 41. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is God's holy word.
I'll sit up here on the steps and leave you in the first pew. So this is a little homily directed just to you six, realizing everybody else gets to listen in as well. To think about Pentecost Sunday, the promised coming of the Holy Spirit. Just like Scripture promised the coming of Jesus at his birth, and we celebrate Christmas. Just as Jesus told everyone that he was going to be persecuted, and on the third day he would rise. He was crucified on the cross, and on Easter we celebrate his resurrection from the grave. And 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended up into heaven. And then 10 more days, the day of Pentecost. Just as the promise that Jesus came, that he would die and that he would arise, the promise coming of the Holy Spirit happened on Pentecost Sunday. And so we have the power of the Spirit within us. And just as Jesus is our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit has two roles as well. He is our counselor and he is our comforter. As counselor, the Spirit is that voice that guides us. And the comforter is that spirit and power that helps us through some difficult times and to go through those doors that we think might be closed, but Jesus is opening for us. Now, what Brad just read the second time was Peter, disciple, now apostle, stood up and he addressed all those people that had gathered together from all the nations. And they had witnessed that power of the Spirit coming in that sound of a mighty wind with something like tongues of fire, and they all spoke. Maybe they were in French and South African. They spoke in the languages so everybody could understand what was happening. And Peter spoke to them. He reminded them of the crucifixion, and he reminded them of the resurrection. And the people's response, they were cut to the heart. I want us all to think about, what does that mean to be cut to the heart? It's a deep meaning. There are things in life that come to us, and it's a great revelation, maybe an aha moment where we experience and sense the presence of God within our heart. They were cut to the heart, and they asked a question that's a good question for every person to ask. What shall we do? What shall we do? And the response, repent and be baptized. Now, I'm not going to give you a quiz, but we've talked about what repentance means. Repent means to turn around. We've recognized our sin. We know it's wrong. We realize that. We're repenting. We ask God for forgiveness. That's part of the class creed that's in the bulletin. And we turn around from that sin. We repent. Repent and be baptized. You six, you've been baptized. And in a few moments, you are going to be confirmed. You are going to affirm those promises of baptism. And so you're left with the question, what should you do? What should you do? And the message that God wants for all of us is we are to do God's will. It's pretty simple. To do God's will. Now, how do you know what God wills for you? You have to know the promise. You have to know that Jesus Christ came to save you from your sins. You have to know the promise that the Spirit came to guide you and comfort you. And you have to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. You have to open your heart and let that Spirit in. For anybody that listened to your presentation, your heart's open. I enjoyed hearing those presentations a few times. Your heart's open, and you need to receive fully the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as you have the Holy Spirit, you are able to save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those words were spoken over 2,000 years ago. And we are still living in a corrupt generation. And you are able to save yourselves. Sort of. It's Jesus Christ that saves us. If you read this passage closely again, it's God that calls us through the promise of his Holy Spirit. We can't really save ourselves. It's up to Jesus, but what Peter means by save yourselves from this corrupt generation, at that breakfast a little while ago, when we pitched those pennies and tried to not pass that boundary, you got to stay away from the boundary. You got to stay away from temptation. That's what it means to save yourselves, to make good, positive, wholesome, faith-filled decisions. In the message that Peter offered, it's a message for everyone, not just you six, but everyone in the world. It's a message for all to unite us in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite our six confirmands to come forward for the rite of confirmation as they affirm the baptismal vows made by either their parents when they were infants or by themselves. So our confirmands are Jace Bernath, Claire Kern, Macy Martz, Jesse Meyer, Harrison Roars, and Cameron Stuckey. These six youth have found nurture and support within their families and in the midst of the family of Christ, the Christian church. Through study and prayer and reflection, they have been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm their baptism and to claim in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of Christ's church. They are here to publicly profess their Christian faith and to be confirmed by God in this church family for service to Christ, to his world, and to the church, using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has granted each of them. Each one of us here today is involved in this rite of confirmation. We are all a part in this service because each of us is being called by the living God to respond to his love and grace in a continual striving to be obedient to our Lord. So the charge of the confirmands, you have come so that God may publicly proclaim you for his service, so that he may confirm you in his covenant and invoke upon you the Holy Spirit, by whose help alone you are able to fulfill your promises. And so I challenge you in the words of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy to keep alive the gift of faith which God has given you. For the Spirit that God has given fills us with power and with love and with self-control. Do not be ashamed of witnessing for our Lord. Take your part both in living out and sharing the good news as God gives you strength to do. And above all, remember Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, that you may realize the salvation that comes only through him. And hear these words from John chapter 15, when Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who remains in me, and I remain in that person, is the one who bears much fruit. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. May you continue to remain in Christ and trust in his promise that he will always be present with you. The faith which we share, in the faith into which Jace and Claire and Macy and Jesse and Harrison and Cameron are to be confirmed, is set forth in the words of the Apostles' Creed. And the confirmands, as every class always has done, has worked hard to this point, and so I'm going to invite them to turn and step out to the front step and confess your faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and I'll get you started. I believe in God the Father Almighty.
Amen.
turn back around. That went pretty well. I can't whisper. I can't.